Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the John Clayton Show. And you know what would be great is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
And good morning on a week that's just flying by very quickly. I hope everybody's enjoying it. And of course, hope you had a chance to enjoy some of the weather, which right now is absolutely sensational. A couple of late-breaking stories. Bryce Petty now being cut today by the New York Jets. I'm sure the Christian Hackenberg's not too far behind. They're getting closer to an Aaron Rodgers deal in Green Bay, just like they are in Atlanta with Matt Ryan. We've got a lot of stuff going on, so let's get going with the five biggest stories of the day. The top five is brought to you by Eastside Funding.
Number one.
You know, our bullpen's been so good. You know, Nicasio and Diaz have been unbelievable. And, you know, I'm sure that they're going to continue to be unbelievable for us this year. So I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen, that he was going to go to the bullpen there. You know, at some point, hopefully, I'll be able to get deeper and, you know, use less pitches and get deeper in the game there and maybe, you know, go past that pitch count. But, you know, I totally understand the decision.
And we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Wow, what a bad loss last night for the Mariners. And we'll get into the debate on pitching Edwin Diaz in a tie situation. I kind of go with Mike Salk on that one. But what a loss it was for James Paxton. I mean, he did not lose the game. He pitched incredible. 7 innings, 5 hits, no runs. He struck out 16, the most in Major League Baseball, and he threw 80 strikes. And the amazing part, you know, of course, you know, Paxton sometimes can get up to 90, 100 pitches by the fifth inning. I mean, here he was at the seventh at 105. I mean, absolutely dominating. And not to be able to win a game like that is sad because, again, you couldn't pitch any better. I mean, when you got some of the great ones, I mean, they have games where it looks like, okay, this could be no-hitter night. Paxton was that way. Remember how Felix Hernandez was in his no-hitter. I mean, you get pitchers that can just be unhittable, and last night he was virtually unhittable. But unfortunately for the Mariners, the Oakland A's came back with 2 runs off Nicasio. Then they get the run at the top of the ninth. And next thing you know, a 2-0 lead turns into a 3-2 loss and a tough one because now the series is tied. But the saddest part of all is that James Paxton didn't get a win in that situation. I guess, you know, you go back through all the years and you've seen it so many times with Felix Hernandez. He'll pitch an absolute great game, go 7 innings or whatever, and then the score is so low that all of a sudden it just kind of slips away. But that one was a very difficult loss for this team. You know, the Mariners did load the bases in the eighth and ninth inning, but they could not score. This was the first time that Edwin Diaz has really been kind of beaten. I mean, he gave up just 1 run all season. He was the reliever of the month back in March, rightfully so, with the 11 saves then, now 12. And so now this gets even tougher because tonight it's going to be Wade LeBlanc at 7-10 going against Sean Manilla, who, of course, you know, Sean Manilla has had the no-hitter, has been almost unhittable in so many of his appearances. So now what you have to worry about with that loss, they could lose the series because Manilla is just so good and so good against the Mariners. So tough loss, 3-2. And that's Around the Diamond brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business.
Number two.
I think Diaz, we talked about what an elite closer he is now. He's going to the All-Star game in my judgment. I think that's where he's headed right now. The consistency that he's brought to that role has been extraordinary. So I would say Diaz has had if I was going to crown the MVP of this team so far, I would probably lean Diaz.
And I do too. Naturally, you know, I know it was said yesterday that at some point he's going to be beaten. In fact, I think you've heard so many people say at some point he's going to be beaten. And last night he was beaten. But what a great year he's had so far. That's the second time that Diaz has won the AL Reliever of the Month award. 11 for 11 saves, .63 earned run average and 14 relief appearances, 27 strikeouts, 7 walks, and batters are just 0-43 against against him. And during the 14 games he's been out there, he's 14-0. Last night, however, it did not work. And Diaz becomes one of 9 pitchers in Major League Baseball history to record at least 11 saves and 27 strikeouts in a calendar month. So that's just fantastic to see. I mean, he's up there now with some of the greats like Orlando Chapman and Norm Charlton. But unfortunately for last night, it was a loss. Nicasio giving up 2 runs in the 8th, and of course the 1 run given up by Diaz in the 9th inning. And Moriduli, I mean, boy, that's a tough one to kind of get over, because again, everything looks so good. I mean, Paxton could not do any better, I guess you could say. I mean, yeah, he gave up 5 hits, but they were meaningless. But for him not to get the win, that's just so sad.
Yeah, you just hate to see it, because he's been such perfection, and then to, you know, have such a great game for Paxton, kind of ruined like that. But, you know, it happens, unfortunately, and I don't think it really means that much as far as, you know, anything bad for where this team is headed, but it's just disappointing.
It is, because, I mean, you want to see greatness rewarded, and he was greatness last night. The 16 strikeouts. I know that I was, you know, catching some stuff on TV, and all of a sudden, you know, I started looking on the on Twitter, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing the strikeouts starting to mount. I said, "Oh, we got to watch this!" And it was perfection. I mean, it's just great to see a great pitcher do those type of things, and he was so great last night. But unfortunately, no win for him, and no win for the Mariners.
Number 3.
I'm here to bring a championship back home to Seattle. I'm excited. I can't wait to get it going with the guys. I'm here to bring championship mentality back to the team, and just help out any way I can.
And that's Rashard Penny talking about what he wants to add as the rookies arrive for the Seahawks rookie minicamp this weekend. And so they get in today, have some meetings tomorrow. Saturday, Sunday, they go on the field all in the afternoon, Sunday in the morning, and all that stuff. And so now it's a matter of trying to at least get to know some of the rookies that they ended up taking in the draft, the 9 draft choices, the undrafted players right now that looking at 14. And of course, who do you get excited about the most? Is it going to be Penny? Is it going to be a punter? Is it going to be Green, the pass rushing defensive end? Regardless, it's a class that, you know, it's so funny, because, you know, they get so downgraded because they took players that nobody expected them to take, and players at maybe other services rated a little bit lower, but they're happy about it. We'll see how they look. I mean, you can see that Penny, some people had as the 5th or 6th running back. They had him as the 2nd best running back. Pro Football Focus had him as the 2nd best running back. But right now, he gets here today, and we'll see him on the field tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Number 4.
After nearly a week of reporting and speculation and rumors, Cowboys tight end Jason Witten has decided to retire from football and join ESPN's Monday Night Football. In hindsight, look, this makes sense. If you're thinking at all about stepping away, you've already essentially stepped away. And if you're going to step into the Monday Night Football booth, those spots don't come open every year.
They don't, and I think he's making a good decision. I mean, it's sad that the Cowboys now lose Tony Romo to TV last year, but of course they have Dak Prescott, and they lose Jason Witten this year, and they really don't have a replacement for him. But what a great career. 1,152 catches for 12,448 yards, 68 touchdown passes. He's going to do a 3-man booth with Greg Gumbel and Trent Green. That's going to be coming up next year. Jamie Erdahl is going to be the sideline reporter, and this is on the CBS network. And Witten's going to be on the ESPN crew. We have Bruce Arians going to be on the CBS crew with Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, and that's going to be with Jamie Erdahl as the sideline reporter. So that's going to be that group. And Arians is thrilled, he says, to be with a class organization like CBS, and I think he's going to be pretty good, because one thing you know about Bruce Arians, he doesn't hold back anything. He's going to say what he sees and what's on his mind.
Number 5.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have converted $8.26 million of linebacker Ryan Shazier's salary for 2018 into a signing bonus. It's a move that ensures that Shazier will see the vast majority of the salary he was going to make now.
And what a class act by the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Ryan Shazier, who has got a guarantee of 8.718 because it was a 5th-year option, but what they did, and they didn't have to do it, but they did, they turned it into a signing bonus, and so now he'll have the base salary, the signing bonus, but again, he's not going to be able to play this year, but they took care of him. The cash is in his pocket now, and it's amazing to see that something you never would think of happening has just happened, but really, there's no salary cap benefit for the Steelers. You know, it's a move that the Steelers just did to take care of a class act in Ryan Shazier. It was great to see him, you know, on stage at the draft in Dallas, you know, being able or trying to just go out and present, you know, the Steeler pick. But that's an amazing thing. Another story, Tim Jernigan, a defensive tackle who got big money to stay in Philadelphia. He had to have some back surgery. He's going to be out 4 to 6 months. And so he took a pay reduction to be able to at least stay with the team. They're not cutting him. Hey, you can listen to my show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Well, coming up, we got to talk about the Diaz situation. Was it wise to be able to put him on the mound in a 2-2 situation in the ninth inning? He ended up getting the loss, and the Mariners get the loss. It was a non-save situation. So do you go old school with the save situation or new school? We'll come back with that. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The Professor, John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Under Further Review with John Clayton.
We'll review the play.
And under further review, what we do every day is take one of the big stories of the day or a story that's going there and see which way it should go and kind of see, going to dig deep into it. And naturally, last night's game, Mariners losing 3-2. James Paxton pitching an incredible game, came back to haunt them because Nicasio gave up two runs in the eighth. And then Edward Diaz came in a non-save situation and pitched and gave up the run, and he gets the loss, and the Mariners get the loss. And so that was a big topic on Brock and Salk. It's a big topic, I think, right now in town. We are also going to get your opinions on that at the bottom of the hour, taking your phone calls. But let's kind of hear what was said earlier today on Brock and Salk.
And it's just this whole idea of not leveraging your closer in the ninth inning of a tie game at home. So I just don't get the argument. Is the argument literally that your best pitcher, literally the best pitcher on the team, goes from being the best pitcher on your team to not worthy of coming into a game the moment it's tied in the ninth at home?
Yeah.
That's what somebody's saying who doesn't want him brought in there.
That's not the argument.
Yes,
it is. The argument is the mentality is different when you have a lead versus when it's tied.
And then he becomes so bad that every other pitcher on the team is better.
And he becomes not as good as he was before.
No, the argument is they don't want him brought into the game. So if you don't want him brought into the game, you think all the other pitchers on the team are no better than him.
All the other pitchers have a mentality to pitch in ties or behind in games, so the closer doesn't.
So that mentality has changed so much that he's now, he cannot ever come into this game, right?
That he is not the best pitcher to go into the game anymore.
That all the other pitchers in your bullpen should come in before him.
Yes.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That mentality changes how people pitch?
I didn't say the mentality doesn't change how people pitch, but it changes it so much that now you would like to see every other pitcher other than him?
Every other pitcher is the wrong way to characterize it.
Why not?
Another pitcher than him.
Why? But eventually, there is never going to be a safe situation in this game. So according to you, you can never now bring him into the game because everyone else is better. So go with James Pazos.
Of the month, there were 11 saves. Let's see if we can get Pazos to do the ninth, and then we close it out. And
you can't, but there's no save opportunity. So what are you saving the bullet for?
You close out the win. You just don't have to use him on that night.
You want to use a worse pitcher.
I only want to use him if there is a true save that he is. I don't fall into this camp. Not on that night. No, not last night.
So just send him home. Bye-bye.
Yep.
And thanks for coming out tonight. We're in a tie game, and it's a really close situation. You're our best pitcher. You have given up one run all year. Yep. Good night. We don't need you anymore tonight. We really appreciate it.
And I side with Mike Salk on this because I don't think it's a bad decision to go with a closer who had been so hot, even if it's a 1-1 situation. But do you go old school or new school? And where I say it's old school is to say, no. You have to have the lead, then you bring in the closer for the ninth inning and all that stuff. I mean, the way I think is kind of like what Mike Salk thinks. The ninth inning belongs to the closer. I kind of don't like the idea of taking the closer unless there's a special situation of going more than one inning. But I think the ninth inning, whether it's a tie game, whether it's a 1-run, 2-1 lead, it belongs to the closer. So let's kind of poll the room right now. Mara Dooley, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I'm not much for all of these kind of unwritten rules of baseball. I actually agree with you too as well, but I think we're in the minority overall from what I was hearing this morning.
And we do want to hear from the fans coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Let's see what Ashley thinks because she's a
huge baseball fan. Ashley Cox, you're over there every night for the homestand. What do you think?
Oh, geez. This is always a touchy subject because I just think Diaz already is
an emotional roller coaster. I love watching it, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to get. And even though he has so many saves and has had a phenomenal season, I'm honestly like right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love watching him pitch, but also I'm like, if it's not a save situation, I don't know. It just, it depends on the moment, depends on the game. But my heart, I guess if I had to pick, is leaning to don't put him in unless it's a save.
Okay. Now, of course, now remember, Ashley coaches. So it's like this is a perspective from somebody who coached basketball. So you,
yes,
you have that management type of mentality, but you're kind of right down the middle leaning against.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, boy, howdy. We've already heard you getting into it with Mike Salk.
Oh, he stepped out for a meeting.
Okay. He stepped out for a meeting. So he's totally against the idea.
Yes.
But I think what it comes down to is that, you know, I think you have to gauge the importance of the game. And I think that, you know, and you take it on a game by game basis. But when you have an incredible performance, like you see from James Paxton, you want to try to do everything to make sure that you don't lose that game. Now, because again, he got through seven innings. He struck out 16. I mean, it was an incredible night. I mean, you know, you may not see a pitching performance from a Mariner as good as that the rest of the season. And so to lose a game like that, it's tough. But I think what it comes down to, I think you owe it in this circumstance, tie or no tie, to put in your best pitcher. And that's Edwin Diaz. I mean, arguably, as John Morosi was saying, that, and I said it the other day, I think he's the MVP of the team right now. And so I think that's where I side with Salk on this, because you know, you get into the, you know, well, you judge it, and it's just Ashley was saying, on a game by game basis. I think a game like last night, you need to try to come out with a win, and you need to get your best pitcher in there, because your best starter came and pitched an incredible game and got you to seven innings, got you to the eighth inning. And unfortunately, you know, they gave up two runs. They had the bases loaded twice in the eighth and ninth inning. Were not able to push a run across. That's sad, but I still think, you know, you need in this situation to put your best pitcher out there, because, you know, he can get that into the bottom of the ninth, he can at least get you to the position where you get into the bottom of the ninth and win the baseball game.
I will say, at the beginning of the season, do you remember last year, Service said that they were going to use Diaz a little differently and maybe bring him in the seventh or the eighth if necessary, and they were moving him around a bit, and he started out pretty inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And he does seem a lot better off this year when they've pretty much only used him in close situations. Do you think that there's anything to just the mentality of a closer being different?
I think so. I really believe that, because again, you know, a closer is at risk every time he goes out there, because particularly one as like Diaz, he throws so hard that, I mean, you do risk the chance of injury. That's why I detest the idea, if you have a great closer, to use him in those situations. I thought, again, this was one of the rationales that I did in the World Baseball Classic, that I did not like the fact that, you know, in closing situations, they put Diaz in there for the World Baseball Classic in multiple innings. I thought that's bad, because I mean you get into a groove like Edwin Diaz gets into, where you're just blowing pitches by batters, and so it's like, okay, you want that mentality. But now when you start to extend it and get more pitches, I just think, one, you risk injury, two, you get out of the routine. I mean, the routine that Edwin Diaz was in has been fantastic. I mean, 11 saves in March, 12 saves total, 14 games pitched, and you know, 14 times they win. It's like, why mess up on something like that? In this case, I think Scott Service did it right. Have him out there, try to get the the chance to get into the bottom of the ninth and get the win. But unfortunately for the Mariners and for Edwin Diaz, he gave up the run, they lost the game, and now it's a matter of trying to scramble around against a great pitcher tonight to at least not lose this series and continue to try to advance. Hey, you can check out the show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. All right, we want to get your reaction to it. I think there's probably, and I would not be surprised if there's more negative reaction, which is fine, because again, this is a hot topic right now. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Your thoughts: did Scott Service do it right? Did he do it wrong? Should Diaz be out there in situations like he was last night in a tie game, or she only be used exclusively in save situations? 206-421-ESPN, 866-979-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
All right, the hot topic right now is Edwin Diaz. Do you use him in non-save situations? And again, to repeat what happened last night, it was 2-2, top of the ninth inning. Diaz came on for his 15th appearance of the year, gave up a run. Mariners lose 3-2. And so a lot of controversy. Did Scott Servais do it right? Did he do it wrong? I think he did it fine. But well, let's get the reaction of everybody else. It's 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to
John. Sorry, before you get started here, I wanted to read a text from the 253. That's a good point. They said, why isn't anyone putting the majority of the blame on Nicasio for last night's loss? He's the one who gave up the game-tying home run and put the club in the position to have Diaz out there in a non-save situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, he gets a blown save. There's no question. And that's that did hurt so much. But then, of course, what the controversy is, okay, so now he does that. He gives up the two runs, and it's 2-2. So do you use Diaz or don't use Diaz? And now that's, I guess that's more controversial. But that's a great text point and very true. It was a blown save, and of course, that goes to Nicasio, but now it's up to Diaz. So let's go to Kirk in Anacortes. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, John. How you doing? Love to listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, I got three quick little points. I don't like it overall just because I think it's, it does something mentally to the closer to not have to, you know, in my opinion, what a closer is not to protect a tie, but to kind of preserve a win. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the other point is, if I think it's also different between home and away. I definitely am against it on away because, if he throws a couple of innings where there's no score and then we get up and we do score, we don't have him then to protect that lead. Now you're using one of your lesser pitchers to try to preserve the win. But at home, it kind of does make some sense. Other than I don't. The mental part of it kind of seems to throw him off, but at home it makes sense because if he can protect that tie and then we get up and score a run, the game's over. So it's kind of I like it two different ways. Way, no, I don't like doing it at all. At home, it's not so bad, but it depends on the mentality of your closer.
No, you get a great point there because when you're talking about it at home, that means you're never going to use your closer in a close game because, you know, if the only runs that can score, that the game's going to be, it's going to be the team at the top of the order, the visiting team, because if the visiting team then takes a lead, then you're not going to bring your closer in because you're trailing. And if you do get the lead, it's sudden death. Ball game's over. So you raise a point on a home game like that. It makes more sense because, you know, why not use your best pitcher? And if Diaz is the best pitcher on a home game, I mean, the only way, because again, he's not going to get the lead because it's going to be 2-2 or 3-3, but he's not going to have the opportunity because it's sudden death. No, I think you raise a good point like that where it's more acceptable at home than on the road and maybe a different story on the road game. Kirk, I think you raise a good point. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Kirkland. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, John. First off, Servais did it right, and I hate to see probably the best pitching performance we're going to see all year from a Mariner get wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk made a great point about being at home, or you could argue that. But I also say, what if Diaz went out and he gave up that run? He's on this amazing streak, and all of a sudden now you're putting him in a situation that could ruin him for the year. If they ain't broke, don't fix it. Let him do his job. That's closing.
So you would, but so you're okay with the decision or not okay? Because you said you're okay.
I'm great with the decision.
Okay.
I think it was the perfect decision.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm with you too. So I would agree with that.
What if you'd put Diaz in there and he was the one who gave up a run?
Mm-hmm.
Then his whole closing streak and he's the MVP, mentally that may set him off for the rest of the year. This is a long season.
Right. And he's in such a mental good place right now that you don't want to see that change.
Yeah, why play with that? Let's talk about why we didn't put up more runs to protect such a great pitching performance. But coaching with pitching, I think that was the perfect call.
Okay, very good. Good call. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Monroe. And Mike, you're pretty experienced at this stuff, so I think you probably have a pretty good grasp.
I pitched in high school, into college, and some semi-pro, and for me, the take is from a mentality perspective. Your job is to get hitters out. I mean, I'm not egotistical, but at the end of the day, I'm going to get everybody out that I can. And when I go in as a starter, you're pacing yourself. if you're put in a closer situation, which I was a few times, it was kind of cool because then it was, you're just going to get everything I have in a very short period of time, and I'm bringing it all. And so to me, it wouldn't, to me, from a mentality perspective, it didn't matter if I was a starter or a closer. And so at the end of the day, if you have to sit there and say, I'm just a closer, and if you bring me in the seventh, I might not do as good of a job because it's not the game on the line in the ninth. To me, that's just bogus. And so to me, service did the right thing. If you're trying to preserve it to get a win because you think your offense is good enough and you got a tie game and your one pitcher blew it to tie it, and now you got to hold it to the ninth, well, if you don't have any necessarily confidence in the rest of the guys and that closer's got to come in the ninth in a tie game, I'll go in the tie game and I'll get you guys at the bottom of the ninth, generally. Yeah.
Now, I mean, because you have pitched in that, how do you think this will affect Diaz now, you know, in the next week or so? Can he put it behind pretty quickly, or do you think that's going to have a negative impact?
Well, at the end of the day, it's kind of like quarterbacks throwing interceptions. You literally have to let it go. You can't mm-hmm. change it. But at the end of the day, it also depends upon the mentality. I've played with guys who did not feel comfortable going in before they were supposed to. They didn't like it. And I'm kind of like, I'm a get over it, doesn't really matter. But if he is the type of guy who literally is very confident and it was one game, he can put it behind him, he's going to keep doing what he's been doing, which is really pitching well this year, and he'll just keep it going. It'll be the one hiccup you see on his thing. But if he's the type that, you know, he only likes that one situation, he didn't really want to go in, but he's called upon, it might affect him, and we'll have to see how it goes during the year.
Okay, hey, very good. Thank you for your expertise. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Carson in Seattle. Hey, Carson.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I don't mind having Diaz out there in that situation. I mean, this guy is just coming off the best month in April and out of all of the, you know, the bullpen. And obviously the result wasn't good, but if I was Diaz, I wouldn't. This wouldn't hurt my mindset or confidence moving forward. If I was Edwin, I would have another shot at it next time. No hesitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's how I look at it.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty good. Again, it's kind of funny because I thought there was going to be more negative reaction. So far, it's been very, very positive. And again, I mean, Diaz has been lights out. You can't get much better than him. And, you know, it was a different situation, but still, it's a matter of like, okay, it's ninth inning, and you're just trying to shut out a team and get you to the bottom of the ninth in this case, as opposed to ending the game. You know, and if you're a pitcher, I mean, you got to be able to adjust. And I think that he's fine with that. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out. Thank you for the phone call, Carson. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Reaction on Edwin Diaz, non-save situation, save situation. Did they make a mistake or do well? So far, Mara, it's been pretty positive on the side of supporting service.
Sorry, John. Mara is answering some phone calls right now.
Okay, so, yeah, so I take it we got a pretty strong reaction.
Oh, absolutely.
Should we carry this over and continue the conversation?
Yeah, we keep getting phone calls in, so let the people speak. Let's do it.
We can do that. And, of course, the question is, and I know we go behind the lines, but I guess we go behind the baseball lines in this one because the reaction seems to be strong. And so far, I guess a little bit surprising in the sense that you know, the reaction is supporting what Scott Service have. I think he's right. I think Mike Salk thinks he's right. We had a former minor league pitcher in Mike from Monroe who has seen these situations and thinks, hey, it's not that big of a difference. Again, the one that I don't like is using a closer, particularly one that throws as hard as Diaz, than more than one inning. I think the key for, I know he's young and all that stuff, but you don't want to use him up too much. I still get a little concerned about the amount of time and games that he's pitching that at some point he could wear out. But right now, so far, so good. But last night, it just didn't go right. So 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Diaz, save situation, non-save situation. Your reaction will continue along. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Professor John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
And again, we go behind the lines at 10:45, but we're behind the baseball lines right now because of the strong reaction of last night's game. Edward Diaz gets in a non-save situation, 2-2 tie, ninth inning, gives up a run, loses the game. And so the controversy is, was Scott Servais right or wrong? I say, Mike Salk says, and so far most of the callers say he was right, even though, again, they get the loss. What say you? Let's go to Peter in Seattle. Hey, Peter. Yes, Peter.
Hi. Do I need to turn my radio off?
Yes, please do.
Okay, I just turned it off.
Okay.
Anyway, it's an honor to talk to you, Mr. Clayton.
Well, thank you.
But my take on the whole situation with the Diaz is I believe Scott, the manager, obviously knows better than anybody else about the mentality of Diaz. But then I got to say, when I saw him coming in the ninth inning there, my gut thinking was, oh, no. I had a real bad feeling about it. And me personally, I would prefer to have Diaz just close on saving situations, because I believe in the past he hasn't done well when mm-hmm. it's a non-saving situation. And but bottom line, I mean, I love what the manager's been doing with the team so far. It's been a hell of a lot of fun listening and watching the Mariners.
Yeah, of course, the one point that was really raised, which I thought was an excellent one, if you take that tack that not using him in a non-save situation, that means in a close game like this, no matter how long it goes, he's not going to pitch. In other words, he gets the night off because, it's a home game. And so the only thing you can do is either have a sudden death win or you're trailing. And so that means in a game like this, a tight game that could go extra innings, he's not going to be used. And if he's your best pitcher in a tight game that you want to win, is that a thought to pass up that opportunity?
Well, of course, I'm sure that's what the manager factors in, and so forth. So mm-hmm. like I said, I trust in his judgment. It's just that my gut feeling when I saw him coming in, though.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I'm sure there's a lot of people around town, because it was a different situation than the 14 other times that he's been on the mound, where now he's always had the lead, and they've won all 14 games, and he's got 12 saves in those 14 games. But this was a little bit different, and so I'm sure you're not the only one, Peter, that felt a little queasy at that possibility, and then ultimately you saw the loss. Hey, Peter, thank you. 866-979-ESPN. 206-421 ESPN. Let's go to Tom in Tri-Cities. Hey, Tom.
John, I'm not concerned about the mentality of the situation, but as a manager, I think you should be looking for opportunities to rest your closer so that he can go two or three games in a row if need be.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, if he would have rested him, maybe he can go again tonight and tomorrow and then Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you overuse him, there'll be a time when you want him that you won't be able to use him.
No, that's a very fair point. I mean, that's something, and it's not the first time I've said this, is that, I just wonder, where is that point? Because, it's been, this is now 29 games, and he's pitched in now slightly over half. He's pitched in 15 of those games, and the more success the team has, the more opportunities he is going to have. Yeah, I think that's a very fair point to worry about, because, what you don't want to do is lose his services because he's so good. I think
thank
you have to kind of monitor that. Hey, Tom, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Eric in Seattle. Hey, Eric.
Hey, John. My take on this is a little different than, you're asking for a lot of conclusions from people and their opinions.
Yeah.
This really brings up a lot more questions for me than answers.
Okay.
We're in the StatCast era. What are other teams doing? What are other closers doing? How often does it occur? How successful are they in those occurrences? So that's my take, is I would just really like to see some data on that. And mm-hmm. once I get done with these chores around here, I'm probably going to go look into it myself. But I just wanted to throw that out there. If we could get some data, that would be awesome.
That would be good. No, I think, unfortunately, on this short notice, I don't have it right now, but that would be good to look into, and maybe you can check back here at another time and kind of give what you were able to see as far as what you see on the analytics of that stuff and what is being done around the league. Thank you for the phone call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Don in Cedarwood. Hey, Don. Yes, Don.
Oh, I see no worry. Service did exactly the right thing. And I think, having played 3 years in a minor, I have a lot of better take on this than most people. Service did the right thing. My problem is, you come up two times with the bases loaded with one out, and you can't. That's where the problem lies. Mm-hmm. Diaz has to pitch in that situation. Anybody knows baseball knows that. My problem is playing a 44-year-old outfielder when you got two young runners like Gamel and Heredia sitting on the bench. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Gamel's already proved that he could hit left-handed hitting. And like I say, the problem is two times bases loaded, one out, nobody scores. 3, 4, and 5 hitters went 1 for 9 or 1 for 10. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Diaz has to pitch 3 days in a row with his stuff. So thank you, Mr. Clayton. I appreciate my call.
Don, thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Nico in Seattle. Hey, Nico.
Hey, John. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So here's my thing is I think Edwin should have pitched last night, but only after Service leaves Paxton in through the 8th, because then he carries that lead over, and then it gives Edwin the opportunity to save the game. But when you put him in a 2-2 tie, you're really not giving him any wiggle room. Nothing but negativity is going to come out of that. Because, I mean, if you say he holds the lead, I mean, say he holds the tie 2-2, we go into the bottom of the ninth, we don't score. Does he come out that next inning? No, but he's pitched already, and he has 11 or 12 saves out of our 17 wins. So they're already exposing his arm too much, and now you bring him in a situation where he can't get a save. He is our closer. He's not there to hold a tie or anything like that. He's there to close the game. And when they basically not give him that opportunity, you're really setting him up for failure. Because now what happens is, now that he gives up that home run, where are we supposed to go now? Now maybe his mentality is kind of messed up. He's going into it thinking, oh, man, I blew that game. Maybe I'll blow games later. Thanks for taking my call, John.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the big one is that you still wonder about, again, it's a home game, so that means in a close game, you're not going to use him if it's going to be the tie. I don't like the idea of using, because I think that takes too much out of the rhythm when you start to put him in the 8th inning. Yeah, he might be able to shut it down for 2, but the wearing effect of that, I think, could be bad. I mean, what was it maybe last year? I think they did 3 or 4 times where they had him do multiple innings. I think when you have a closer this good, a closer that throws 98 to 100 miles an hour, I mean, you keep him in the 9th inning. The 9th inning belongs to Edwin Diaz, and that's why I'm fine with the notion that it's like, okay, it's a tie game, because, again, it's always going to be a tie in what's going to be an extra inning game unless you're now trailing. You're not going to get the save opportunity once you get to the bottom of the 9th of a tie game. And so I can see maybe being different on a road game. That would something to be consideration. In fact, I don't know. Maybe throw that into the equation as far as your thought process. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Tell you what, I think we've done a great job of trying to get responses on that. And again, there's more positive responses for Scott Service than negative. But I think the one thing that was great about it was well thought out as far as how it goes. I mean, a great point on the home game made by one caller, getting a former pitcher who had been in the minor leagues saying, hey, either way, it's fine. Because again, the mentality is just go out there and pitch. So I think that was excellent as far as everybody handled things. Thank you all for your phone calls. And we carried it into a football segment, but a very, very good baseball topic. Hey, don't forget the Mariners are going to wrap up the series going against the A's tonight. And so that's going to be over at Safeco Field. And, of course, game time is going to be at 7:10. The pregame show starts at 6. Coming up next, we don't have Sean Salisbury today. He's got actually a well-deserved day off. So Brady Henderson, who never takes a day off, from ESPN.com, joins us talking about the minicamp, the Seahawks draft, and all things Seahawks. Seahawks coming up next. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.